Thanks for listening to the Gate City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. For more information on our church or our 24/7 house of prayer, please visit gatecityatl.com. Now enjoy the message.
Amen. Good morning. Thank you, Valerie, McKenna. They are part of our worship team for Gatekeepers on Thursday night. Love you guys. And if you're between the ages of 18 and mid-20s on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. right here, Gatekeepers, they have a tremendous time. Right, Kobe? Pretty good? Pretty good. He wasn't paying attention. All right. He didn't pay attention. All right. So, all right. Are you ready? All right. We're going to jump right in. For those of you that might be aware, over the past couple of weeks, we've been in a message series entitled We Go Together, if you remember those messages. And we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about We Grow Together. This is going to be meat and potatoes. You like meat and potatoes? Chef Richard Holly, you like meat and potatoes? All right, brother, this is going to be meat and potatoes. We're going to talk about how we grow together in our freedom, how we grow together in our personal walks with Jesus, how we grow together in humility, how we grow together and how we parent our children in our marriages and in our family. And then we'll wrap up this time with Resurrection Sunday. And then after that, we're going to begin a lengthy series on Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, verse by verse. It's going to be really, really exciting. But in the meantime, this morning, are you okay for the next 30 minutes to let's go after the devil a little bit? Can we just like go after him? All right, I want to make sure we're on an even playing field and we all believe rightly according to Scripture that we are called to live lives that are free from bondage, free from sin, free. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that in the cross of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can live a life free of the tyranny of sin and bondage? We all believe that. All right. Just so you know, that's in the Bible. All right. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 5. There's some simple notes you can get off of the website by scanning if you'd like to. I put those there for you with some more passages and stuff. But let's start just by reading Ephesians 5 and verse 8. This is describing us before you were born again. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now we're going to read a passage from Galatians 5:1, familiar passage. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So just in these two passages, we see the Bible is clear that we are called and we are supposed to live a life free from bondage. It's what Jesus accomplished for us in the cross. Now, am I saying we're not going to struggle? Who struggles? Yes. Who experiences this thing called temptation? Yes, that is all real and true. But what I don't want us to do, we don't want to normalize stumbling and failure as commonplace amongst God's people. You hear me? We don't want to normalize it as just, oh, that's normal. That person stumbled. That's normal. That person fails. Do stumbles happen? Yes. Do failures happen? Yes. Should it be so? No, it should not be so. And it doesn't have to be so. The word teaches us that we've been set free. The word teaches us in the book of Jude to the one who is able to keep us from, who can repeat it? Stumbling, right? In other words, the grace of God, the power of God alive in our life enables us to live a life of freedom. Maybe it's just because of my vocation as a lead pastor for 28 years. I am tired of the enemy running roughshod over the people of God. People in bondage and in sin and can't break free, there's something wrong. And it's not with God, it's not with His Word, and it's not with the Holy Spirit. these things or not be. I believe there is a hope and truth for every single one that is struggling to enter into a place of freedom and joy, to be able to resist temptation. It is possible. It's what the Bible teaches. But it's important for us to understand what victory looks like. How do we experience freedom? How do we define that? Now, I am not a fighter by nature. I'm a lover, not a fighter. All right, but I have been doing some studying up on fighting, and all fighting is not the same. For example, boxing. Who's familiar with boxing? So, what is the most ultimate victory in the sport of boxing? What's it called? It's called a knockout punch. And your opponent that gets knocked out, what are they experiencing after that moment? They're what? They're laid out. Are they continuing to exert influence on you? No, they are knocked out. I believe for many of us, we have a definition of freedom and victory that looks like that. That looks like that. That we throw the knockout punch, the opponent, whatever it is laid out, and it's not exerting influence anymore. If that is your definition and my definition of victory and freedom, we're going to spend a bulk of our Christian life very discouraged about what we are engaging, because that's not real. Well, there's another art of fighting. It's called wrestling. Who's familiar with this? Wrestling. Now, if you're in a wrestling match and you get in the square and you all of a sudden take your fist and you punch your opponent in the face as hard as you can, and knock them out, what's probably gonna happen next? You're gonna be disqualified. Why? There's a rules of engagement problem. That's not what a wrestling match is won by, not by a knockout punch. How does one achieve victory in a wrestling match? Pinning, maneuvering, anticipating. From my understanding, in a wrestling match, for it to be legitimate, while the match is going on, there needs to be hand-to-hand, there needs to be bodily contact the entire time. They cannot let go of each other. So it's constant pressure. You're feeling it, and you're anticipating your opponent's what? Move. You're trying not to get pinned. You're trying to pin your opponent. In other words, there is a strategy where you learn not to get pinned. Can I tell you, the battle that we are engaged in is much more like a wrestling match than it is a boxing match. So if you're experiencing lots of pressure, lots of struggle, lots of temptation, that's why. Because we don't get to knock out pressure, knock out struggle, and knock out temptation and leave it on the floor without it exerting energy and power over us. This is a critical thought. Man, when I got a hold of this truth, it really set me free in some profound ways, because I was wondering, why is wrong with me? There was nothing wrong with me. We're just in a different kind of battle, a wrestling match. Now, what I want to share with you are four quick things. These are four inherent challenges that are in our lives 24/7. We do 24/7 prayer here. Well, I'll tell you about 24/7 real challenges, the wrestling match we're in with these four forces. Are you ready? Are you really getting encouraged? All right, get encouraged. Four of these. All right, ready? Number one. You need to be aware of this about yourself. Our hearts can easily be deceived. Our hearts can easily be deceived. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Do you know you can be tricked and led astray very easily? And the enemy understands that you have a heart that can easily be tricked. And it's very subtle how this works. To simply pick up an offense. Somebody wrongs you at work. Somebody looks at you the wrong way. Somebody is mean to you. What are you tempted to do in that moment? It feels right. It feels good. Oh, I'm going to pick up that offense. And I'm going to hold on to that. Or I'm going to pick up that little bit of anger. Because our hearts are tricked into believing that's right and it's just to do so. What happens though when you start picking up offense? It's not good. Ever made a snowball? Ever made a snowman? We didn't get any snow this winter. How many are disappointed and profoundly disappointed? We didn't get a flake, a flurry, no freezing rain, no ice. So disappointing. But when you make a snowball for your snowman, you start off with like a little ball, right? And you start rolling it in the snow, and what happens? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So once you allow yourself to get offended, you get more and more offended, and an offended heart becomes a magnet to pick up more offense. And man, your heart gets jacked up when you get offended, and it will disrupt your walk with God quicker than anything, an offended heart. It happens because we believe it's just and it's right to pick it up, as opposed to understanding we have to outmaneuver the enemy, knowing his tactics, and not allow ourselves to pick up that offense in the wrestling match. It's true. It can be as serious as the husband who is struggling in his marriage and things aren't right, and he justifies, well, maybe just take one little peek at just a little bit of pornography because my marriage isn't going well. That's what the enemy does. One little peek won't hurt me. I deserve it. My wife's mad at me. She's been mad at me for 5 months. It's my fault she's mad at me, but nevertheless, the heart can be deceived so quickly. And the enemy plays into that deception. And it's subtle. This happened to me just yesterday. We were at Walmart. Listen, I don't like going to Walmart on Saturdays. My wife, let's go to Walmart. And I said, please, no. Can I please wait in the car? You know, I'm just begging. So anyway, we had the grandkids with us. We had our little granddaughter. She's in the car seat. So we go in and do the Walmart thing. We finally get out the door. We make it to the car. We get all the groceries in the trunk, and I'm putting the car seat. I'm attaching the car seat. Just by the way, I don't know what's happened to car seats in the last 20 years. But when we were raising our kids, I guess they were made from a different, man, these things are like tanks, buckled, strapped. I mean, it's a crazy. So I'm getting the baby all properly buckled in, and I look in the car seat, and little baby Allison was sitting on a bottle of ibuprofen. And you know what I realized? We didn't buy that bottle of ibuprofen. She struggles with kleptomania even at 9 months. She was playing with it, and she stuck that thing right under her diaper. And I saw that. I'm thinking to myself, oh, no. And right then, I'm beginning to reason with myself. I don't want to go back into Walmart. I don't want to go back and pay for this. I spent a lot of money at Walmart. I deserve this bottle of ibuprofen. It's all right. And literally, I'm working myself up into deception that it's totally okay with me walking away with that ibuprofen. What did I do? My wife looked at me. And she said, yes, baby. Would you at least take it back so I don't have to and I can wait in the car? So we returned the ibuprofen. Listen, our heart is primed continually to be deceived by the right forces and the right play as the enemy wants to maneuver us. That's one. The second 24/7 problem we have is we have lust and temptation issues. We have lust and temptation issues. 1 John 2:16, very familiar verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. Suffice to say here, you have this kind of fleshly nature about us, and it desires to exert itself continually. And you never get away from this 24/7 challenge. It's wanting you to do the wrong thing, watch the wrong thing, engage in the wrong thing, satisfy the thing. Before you know it, your neighbor gets a new car. You're driving a car with 250,000 miles on it. You begin to look at it, and you begin to lust after that car with your eyes, and you begin, oh, I want to go get a new car, bless God. And you don't care how much the car costs. All you care about is the monthly payment. It doesn't matter the principal or it's 95% interest. Just get the payment down where I can afford it. And you go do something crazy. How many of you have done stuff like that before? Yes, we've all done that. Why? Because we got this thing inside of us that's always exerting pressure to express itself over a variety of areas. So be aware of that. You have a heart that can easily be deceived. You got this lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh pressure that's very real and exerting against you continually. Well, let's do another one. The third one. We live in a fallen world under the influence of an antichrist spirit. How do you like that, Robbie? That's Robbie's favorite statement. We live in a fallen world under the influence of an antichrist spirit. When I say Antichrist, I'm not referring to the man of lawlessness at the end of the age. I'm referring to the prince and power and pervasive spirituality that's governing the world systems that we are experiencing every day. And it's everywhere, isn't it? What is Antichrist? That which is against everything Christ cares about and his word. And that spirit is everywhere. It's in entertainment. It's in sports. It's in education. Yes, it's even working in the church. It's working everywhere. And that's the world that we currently live in. Check this out, 1 John 4:3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. So we have a heart that can be easily deceived, walking around super vulnerable. We got this kind of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride problem that's always real. We never like get to knock that sucker out and put it in the corner. And to add insult to injury, we're walking around on a planet that is currently under the dominion of the satanic realm. Does it make you want to move? Listen, that's where we live. You can't get away from it. It's where you live continually. It should feel a little bit odd and strange, but guess what? If you're born again, you're not a citizen of that place. We're a citizen of heaven. We march to the beat of a different drummer. We are in the world, but not of the world, right? So we are living in a realm that's challenging and difficult. No matter where you go, you're experiencing the challenge. All right, four and last. We have an enemy that seeks to exploit the above three things aforementioned through temptation. We have a real enemy. We can read about it in Ephesians chapter 6. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, rulers, powers, and principalities. There is a real demonic force out there at work to endeavor to exploit your 24/7 weaknesses. And he knows how to play you. He's very aware of the wrestling match. He knows how to pin. He knows how to maneuver. He knows exactly what to do. And as you learn his strategies and you learn his techniques, we don't have to fall victim to them anymore. He's exerting that against us. And it's very real. It's very real. 1 Peter 5:8 describes this enemy. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. So we get this analogy of the devil like a roaring lion, this evil that is hunting you. Have you ever felt like evil was hunting you? Ever had the moments of stress and pressure and you know the enemy is hunting you? But I can tell you something about the enemy. His techniques and his strategy is pretty predictable. He doesn't run many new plays on us. He's running the same plays over and over and over again. And once you figure out his wrestling tactics, you don't have to succumb and be pinned, but you can flip him rather than him flip you. So this is the reality, and the enemy comes and he brings this thing into our life called temptation. I got some good news though. Is temptation sin? No. Now say hallelujah. Aren't you glad temptation isn't sin? Oh my, we'd all be in deep, deep trouble. Temptation is not sin. But the enemy comes, and what he does is very clever. Because this is my belief, what temptation does. Temptation comes, and it's the enemy's attempt for us to get to act like someone else. To act like someone else. In other words, that's not you anymore. He's trying to get you to act like the old you. And see, Holy Spirit conviction works like that. You know what Holy Spirit says? He's not coming to condemn you and to shame you and to bring me into guilt. You know what he says? He says, Dustin, why are you thinking about doing that? That's not even who you are. You're acting like somebody else. Can I remind you of who you are? You know, that's why the Holy Spirit came, to actually remind us of these things. Let me remind you of who, and pull us back into our identity and who we are. That's how conviction feels for us. But temptation is real and it occurs continually. But I can tell you, I think my Bible says that God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when we are tempted, he will what? Provide a way of escape to get out of it. But here's the key. Our heart posture has to be looking for the way of escape and not looking for the sin. There's a difference, isn't it? In other words, if I'm in a building burning down, what am I going to be looking for? I'm going to be looking for an exit. I'm going to be looking for a way of escape. When temptation is coming and I'm struggling and it is hitting from all angles, I need to be looking for a way of escape. And God promised to make sure there will be there will be one for us when we need it. But we have to be looking for it. So those are the four things. Now, you ready for some hope? All right, that's the reality. 24/7 things going on. We're in a wrestling match continually. If you didn't know that, wake up to wrestling, put boxing behind you. This is what we're in. Now, how do we stay free? How do we grow in freedom? How do we not just stay sort of in this moment of status quo? How do we grow and not regress? The first one is pretty obvious. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love this passage in Galatians chapter 5. It says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. And what will happen? And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are at conflict with each other. So the answer for us is to stay filled with the Holy Spirit inside of us. Now, I used to think the Holy Spirit was all about power for ministry. I likened it to electricity and the spiritual gifts as power tools. Holy Spirit power, the power tool of tongues, power tool of prophecy. I thought much more in terms of the Holy Spirit gives me power to do things and to accomplish ministry. But I really have come to understand that that's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit. For he's a person. Think about it. Holy Spirit power. There is power. It's connected to a person, the Spirit, and what's he interested in doing? Making us holy. Holy Spirit power. And what happens when we are filled with the Spirit? Listen, some of us in the room, you've never had an experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh my, you need this. Some of you haven't been filled with the Spirit in 40 years. You need it again. This was so important to Jesus that he told his disciples, guys, I've been resurrected. I'm fixing to go be with the Father. Listen, I need you guys to go into a prayer meeting and I'm going to send someone to you. And you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and it's going to change everything. And what happened in that upper room space? And when the Holy Spirit comes, yes, he fills you with power, but it's the power of love. It's the power of love. Romans teaches us that the Holy Spirit, one of his primary functions, is to pour the love of God into our heart. Why is that so important? Because the Holy Spirit connects us to who we are in our identity. The Holy Spirit is the one that is continually reminding me who I am and who I am not. That's what he does. So if we're not regularly filled with the Spirit, what are we going to get disconnected from? Our identity. And then we're going to be subject to a heart that can be deceived, lust, being exploited in a fallen world. If we're not connected to the person and power and presence of the Holy Spirit, it's essential for us. And I'm serious, in days ahead, or if you haven't, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to be. You may be thinking, well, I'm not sure if I have or haven't. Well, then you haven't. Trust me, if you don't know whether you've been filled with the Spirit or not, you haven't. And I got some good news. There's a loving Heavenly Father that's ready to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. That all we have to do is ask and continually ask. All right, that's the first thing. We got to be filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. The second thing is be diligent daily. Be diligent daily. Most of us have become very accustomed to eating every day. And we eat every day so we can have calories to function, right? It's the natural course of things. We need to eat. So let's not change the rules when it comes to things of the Spirit. Every morning, I encourage you, every morning, orient yourself to God. Remind yourself you're a Christian. I don't mean you have to read the entire book of Leviticus and exegete it and write 20 Bible studies every morning. No. It might just need to be as simple as, wake up. I am a C. I am a CH. I am a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Come on. I have C-H-R-I-S-T in my H-E-A-R-T, and I will L-I-V-E-E-T-E-R-N-A-Y. All right, good. All right, here we go. Sometimes just if you remind yourself of who you are every moment, right? But especially the moment when you first wake up, somewhere between the bed and the shower or the bathroom, just like, yes, I'm a Christian. Thank you, Jesus. And what that happens is it is exactly like if you pull out your compass and you find magnetic north first, and then you can be directionally appropriate to which way you're going. In other words, you got to find magnetic north before you can go anywhere. It's finding magnetic north early in the morning. And the next thought, make sure you go to bed clean and unoffended every night. Simple. Go to bed clean and unoffended. How many of you are like to take your showers at night? How many of you like night shower people? I'm a morning. Got a few, yeah, pretty good, right? Yeah, so why do you like to take a shower at night? Because you want to go to bed clean. Can I tell you, your heart was designed to go to bed clean. And how you do that is just run a little assessment through your mind. Lord, my personal practice is I will lay in bed. And sometimes I'll try to remember the day, and I'll kind of scroll through my text, and I'm just trying to relive the day. Look at my calendar, and oftentimes I'll get a thought, oh no, I forgot to do this for somebody, or I kind of may have said the wrong thing to this person. And I'll actually send some texts. If you're getting texts from me at 2 or 3 in the morning, sometimes that's what's happening. I'm going through my little diagnostic, making sure my heart is clean. Sometimes I have to turn to the person laying next to me in bed, and that's my wife. I will turn to her and say, honey, and I usually have something to repent of over the course of the day. But just repenting and getting clean before the Lord, making sure there's no offended heart. Therefore, when you wake up in the morning, guess what you get to do? Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Deliver me from evil today, Lord. And making this a continual practice in your life. And you might be thinking, man, that sounds too simple. Listen, when Jesus shows up, he always simplifies. He never complicates. The enemy complicates. The devil complicates. The devil is into algebra and calculus. Sorry. That's kind of his thing. That's not Jesus' thing. He's into that. When Jesus shows up, we're struggling. We're getting assailed with temptation. We're fighting for our life. We're trying to say no to the devil. And it's like looking at the quadratic formula and you can't remember, do you do the parentheses first? What do you do? But you know what Jesus says? Bro, 1 + 2 = 3. 3 - 2 = 1. And we're thinking that's too simple. It's that simple. Now, simple doesn't mean easy, but it's very, very simple. Be diligent daily, not letting the sun go down on your anger, in the morning letting the daily bread feed you. And the last thing that'll help us to grow in our freedom is this one. Be in community and in fellowship. You've got to be in the herd. There's a cool passage. You can read the whole chapter, Ephesians 4. But in verse 25, it says, "For we are members of one another. We belong to each other." We not only belong to the Lord, but we belong to each other. I belong to Mark Pink. Mark Pink belongs to me. We belong to each other. We need each other to do this. It is impossible for any of us to walk in freedom unless we are in community and in fellowship with one another. That you got people in your life that know you, that can tell you no, that can call you out, and you're intentional with those relationships. And can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? Those relationships won't arbitrarily come to you. You got to go get them. Don't wait on me to come knocking at your door or somebody else. Go get them. Find them. It is paramount. I did a little bit of study in years past and on this subject of being in the herd, and watching all these National Geographic specials, and you see the roaring lion seeking someone he may devour. It doesn't say everyone. It says someone. There's a certain category of people that he can get to, and some he can't get to. And you know it, right? You got the herd of gazelle, wildebeest. Which one do the lions, the tigers, and bears, who are they going to get? Yeah, right. The out on the periphery, right? They're out. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're sort of goofing off. Maybe they pull pull away. Because see, we do this, guys. When we have this unhealthy tendency, when we are struggling or we're going through something, we don't lean in, we actually pull back. We actually start withdrawing from the very thing we need the most. Do you have that tendency? I do. When I'm going through a tough time or going through a mental struggle, I just want to withdraw to my hole and hide. But what am I doing? I'm backing right into the jaws of the enemy waiting on me when that happens, as opposed to leaning in. That's the human tendency, unless we have been proactive. And you know what we should do? We should be the buffalo or the wildebeest and put our head down, and we should just muscle our way where? Right to the center of the herd. Where's the safest? Now, I need to put a disclaimer here. It's no picnic being in the herd. Zoom in on the camera. What's happening in the herd? We're bumping into each other. We're pooping and peeing on each other, maybe. Biting each other sometimes. Maybe you're stepping in somebody else's poop. Somebody else is stepping in your poop. In other words, in community is not easy either. But it's better than the alternative. And it's when those daily things enable us to have a heart that's unoffended, where I'm practicing that in an environment where I'm learning to confess my sin to my brothers and sisters, and where I'm repenting. And when that happens, we're learning to love each other and to bear with each other in love. And then we can continue to move in freedom together. I can tell you it's the most critical discipline, in my opinion, that we can develop in our spiritual life. I think even beyond Bible reading and prayer potentially, is being in the center of biblical community. Because there, everything else is gonna happen. The centrifugal force of that. Amen. Let's stand together. Listen. Let's know this together. Quick review, right? We supposed to be free people. We supposed to walk, right, in freedom and enjoying the Holy Spirit. But let me encourage you, if you're struggling, it's because you're in a wrestling match and you're not in a boxing match. It's supposed to be hard. It's supposed to be difficult. But when we know the strategies of the enemy, when we are acutely self-aware, when I'm self-aware of my heart's tendency to be deceived, I'm self-aware of the power inside of me of lust and pride. I'm aware of my environment is being infused by the enemy that's on the rampage and coming to try to exploit and take advantage of me in weakness. When we're aware of that, it's gonna help us. And then beginning to walk in, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. My prayer for all of us tonight, I pray as whatever your nightly routine is, I encourage you, take a moment. Lord, am I good? Is my heart okay? Is there anybody I need to ask forgiveness? Lord, do I need to just say, Lord, forgive me for X, Y, Z? Just make sure your heart is clean. Let go of any offense. And then when you wake up tomorrow morning, what are you going to do? Go ahead. I am a C. I am a C. And you're going to orient yourself to Jesus. Try to quote a scripture. I got my Bible audible. I got my Bible on my audible thing. I plop it on the speaker in the bathroom, turn it really loud. It's reading scripture while I'm doing all the bathroom stuff, right? Just something, do something to orient your life around the purposes of God in your life. I promise you, like taking 2 drops of green food color and then dropping it in a cup of water, it's gonna tint your whole day a different color when you orient to Him, amen? And then find some people, get involved, get in a Wellspring group, a community group, a house church, find out, man, get in there. Say, help me, I need to be a part of a community. And then guess what? You're gonna be free. You're gonna grow in freedom. We're gonna grow in freedom together, amen. Father, I love you this morning. Thank you for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us in worship. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, Lord, for not leaving us alone, not leaving us as orphans. You actually know what you're doing. You're a good leader, Holy Spirit. So I pray, Lord, this afternoon, this word, Lord, I need this desperately. Lord, let it find a good soil condition in my own heart. that we can live free, Jesus. We can represent you well. We can be husbands and wives. We can be in our singlehood, free, walking in joy. We can be parenting our children, representing you well in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can be an aroma that other people are smelling, and it smells like you, Jesus. We can be the letter that you're writing on our hearts that people are reading and reflects you well. And we can walk in victory over the enemy's devices. And we will not be pinned. We will not be outmaneuvered, because we are aware. We are aware of his tactics. Thank you, Lord. In the midst of all that, there's amazing grace and there's mercy new every morning. And you reset the clock every day for us. We are so grateful. But Lord, we want to grow and we desire to grow. So if you could, just last, let's take maybe 15 seconds. Could you join me? Let's just all lift our hands together. Just in your own way, just ask the Father to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Just ask him, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill me now, Lord. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, move across this room. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Give us the gift of hunger and desire, knowing, Lord, you don't withhold any good thing, but you give it to us. We need you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And I pray for everyone in the room, Lord, that God, they would have an awakening, that the same Spirit that raised you from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies to a newness of life, even this day and this afternoon. We ask these things, Lord, in the great and wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. And all of us said together, amen. Amen.